One of the greatest right-handed sluggers of all time, Ed Delahunty, dominated the 1890s like no other hitter, batting better than 400 three times. Ed hit for average, power, and was one of the greatest base stealers in baseball history. Despite such versatility, the temperamental star was destined to make more headlines off the field than on it, and his death remains one of the most fascinating mysteries in the annals of the sport. I'm Nina Instead, and this is Deadball. The eldest and most talented of five major league brothers, Edward James Delahunty was born on October 30, 1867 in Cleveland, Ohio, to parents Bridget and James. His parents were Irish immigrants who arrived in America 2 years earlier. Ed was their second child, and the first one to survive infancy. To support his young family, James Delahunty took on a variety of blue-collar jobs in Cleveland, while his wife converted the family's spacious Phelps Street home into a boarding house. Young Edward and his brothers found relief from their crowded family home by playing a variety of sports, but especially baseball, in the neighborhood's vacant lots. Ed's impressive hitting caught the eye of local scouts who recruited him to play for the Cleveland Shamrocks, a semi-pro club. His success there led to a $50 a month contract with Mansfield of the Ohio State League. That's where Delahunty spent the 1887 season, batting .351 with 90 runs scored in 83 games. After appearing in 21 games and posting a .412 batting average for Wheeling, that's Wheeling, West Virginia, of the Tri-State League in 1888, Delahunty's contract was picked up by the Philadelphia Phillies of the National League for approximately $2,000. A strapping 6 feet 1 inch tall and 170 pounds, Delahunty was not an instant success in the majors, as opposing pitchers took advantage of the youngster's free-swinging approach at the plate. They held him to a .228 average. He improved to .293 in 1889, then he moved over to Cleveland of the Players League in 1890, and there he batted .296 in 115 games. After the Players League failed, Delahunty returned to Philadelphia, struggling to reach a .243 average, but he scored 92 runs and drove in another 86. That's the eighth best in the league that year. Having failed to live up to his potential after more than 3 years in the majors, Delahunty rededicated himself to his profession in the off-season. He worked out every day and reported to camp in 1892 in the best shape of his life. From 1892 to 1901, he led the National League in every major offensive category. In 1899, he became the first player in baseball history to bat better than 400 three times. In 1894, in the middle of the best part of his career, Ed married his childhood sweetheart, Noreen Thompson. Ed and Noreen would go on to have a daughter, Florence Lillian. She was born in 1895. Despite his love for his wife and daughter, Ed had a strong independent streak and would seldom spend much time at home. Even during the off-season, he wasn't around much. Ed liked drinking, playing poker, and hanging out at the racetrack. He had little time for Noreen and Florence. Despite burning the candle at both ends, Ed continued to thrive professionally. On July 13, 1896, Ed Delahunty became the second player to hit four home runs in a major league game. After switching to the new American League in 1902, playing for the Washington Senators under manager Tom Loftus, Delahunty won his second batting title. Ed Delahunty was at his peak professionally. Despite his remarkable on-field success, Delahunty's personal life was spiraling out of control. Noreen became ill, and Ed squandered the couple's financial resources by gambling on horses and binge drinking. He'd started out wanting to be independent, to do his own thing, but he ended up dragging his wife and his child down too. You could regularly find Big Ed at the bottom of a bottle trying to avoid creditors. Ed owed bookies in every major city, He owed money to the type of people you absolutely had to pay, if you know what I mean. Down on his luck at the racetrack after the 1902 season, Ed never seemed himself afterward, and was burying his mounting debt and drinking problems deep within. He became distant, moody. He went to the Washington Senators and asked them for a raise. When the team refused to give him more money, he looked to jump ship, perhaps to a team in the National League. Ed thought that if he could land a contract with John McGraw's New York Giants, maybe, just maybe, he could avoid the loan sharks long enough to earn some dough and pay off his debts, get himself square. Now, the Giants were happy to land one of the best hitters in baseball. Ed signed a 3-year contract with the Giants. And reports on how much he made vary, some say $6,000 or $8,000 per season. The deal also included a $4,000 advance on his salary. But the contract was never fulfilled. Just before the 1903 season, the rival American and National Leagues, they agreed to honor each other's contracts, with the result that Delahunty's deal with the Giants was null and void, and the rights to his contract were returned to Washington. Ed was not changing teams, and in even worse news, he had to pay back that $4,000 advance. Since Big Ed's contract with Washington called for a salary of $4,500, of which they'd already advanced him $600, the ruling basically cost the already cash-strapped Delahunty $100 to play baseball that season. For a man on the brink of personal and financial ruin, it was the worst outcome possible. And his financial woes did little to improve his mood or his relationship with his wife and child. Just before the start of the 1903 season, Delahunty ended a lengthy holdout, and Washington agreed to pay the $4,000 he owed to New York, but in return, $2,000 per year would be deducted from his salary in 03 and 04. It was not a great deal, but it would keep him afloat. When he finally returned to the Senators, he was out of shape, and he soon injured his back and his ankle. Team manager Tom Loftus sent him up to Michigan for a retreat, telling him to get in shape. Ease up on the booze. Focus on getting healthy. The time at the retreat was helpful, and after a couple of weeks, Ed was playing and acting more like his old self. But Ed was still drinking. And his behavior off the field became erratic. He started giving away keepsakes, including his gold watch, to teammates, and it was even rumored that he'd attempted suicide by turning on the gas in his room in Washington. Prior to embarking on a lengthy road trip with the Senators on June 17, Delahunty took out a life insurance policy on himself and named his daughter Florence as the beneficiary. On June 26, 1902, newspapers reported that the National League president, Harry Pulliam, had decided to violate the peace agreement between the American and National League by allowing contract-jumping shortstop George Davis to play for the Giants. Ed saw this as his opportunity to finally join the club in New York. So he abandoned the Senators and went on a drinking binge, which left him angry and disoriented and in no condition to play. He was in such a state that he reportedly threatened to kill himself and some of his teammates. Fearing for his safety, they agreed to keep a close watch on him at the team hotel. Ed did not appreciate the extra attention, and wielding a knife, he chased one of them away from him. On the night of July 2, 1903, Big Ed saw his chance to escape from the team, and he boarded a sleeper train from Detroit to New York in hopes of joining the Giants. 8 hours and several servings of whiskey later, Ed was causing a ruckus on the train. Other passengers complained about his behavior, and Ed got into an altercation with the conductor when he refused to put out his cigarette. Ed continued to drink long past the time when it was clear to everyone that he was plastered. He was loud, angry, and difficult. And then he caused even more of a stir by smashing a pane of glass in an emergency tool cabinet. Big Ed Delahunty walked the length of the rail cars, loud, unruly, and drunk. He disrupted passengers who, look, They just want to get some sleep. Around 10 p.m., Ed entered an already occupied berth and attempted to drag a sleeping woman out of it by her ankles. The woman screamed and fought against the stranger who was assaulting her. The train conductor decided he'd seen enough. He booted Ed off the train at the very next stop. Ed found himself standing on the Canadian side of the International Bridge with the bright lights of Buffalo ahead of him. "You're in Canada," he was told by the enraged conductor. "I don't care if I'm in Canada or if I'm dead," Delahanty replied. Later that evening, Ed was found by a night watchman, drunkenly leaning against an iron truss on the cusp of Niagara Falls. The watchman, concerned for Ed's well-being, shined his lantern on him. Big Ed, riled with confusion, tripped on the tracks that traversed the falls and scampered away into the darkness. According to the watchman, Ed Delahanty had either fallen or leapt into the water below the bridge. Several days passed before Ed Delahanty's horrific, mangled remains were discovered by William LeBlond, captain of the ever-popular tour boat, Maid of the Mist. They found his remains beneath the thrashing Niagara Falls. Big Ed Delahanty was only 35 years old. Ed's corpse was terribly disfigured, and nearly all of the slugger's clothing had been torn off, apart from his tie, shoes, and socks. It seems that the water had ripped away his clothing. A local sheriff arrived on scene and quickly concluded that Ed died from a, quote, accidental fall. There was no official investigation into his death. Did the drunken ball player fall into the water accidentally? Or, in a fit of anguish and despair, did he hurl himself into the darkness, ending his life? Within hours after the grim discovery, Ed's younger brother Frank arrived to observe his body. Frank Delahanty questioned, how could Ed's tie still be in place, but all of his diamond rings and money was gone? Frank demanded that the local authorities investigate, but they refused. Ed Delahanty's death was ruled accidental. There would be no investigation. But Frank didn't believe it. He didn't believe that there was an accident. He also couldn't believe that he took his own life. All of Ed's valuables are gone, but his shoes and socks are still here? Frank would not give up. He conducted his own investigations, never accepting the accidental death narrative around the loss of his brother. Adding to the intrigue, stories circulated that a farmer's body was found beneath the fall shortly afterwards, minus $1,500 the farmer was carrying before his demise. Could there have been a band of marauding, murderous thieves lurking around the falls? It's possible. And here we are, more than a century later, and Ed's last hours remain a mystery. No one is sure if the intoxicated Delahanty mistakenly fell into the river, if he took his own life, or if foul play befell the celebrated ball player. Accident, suicide, or murder? Big Ed Delahanty left us with many questions but few answers. He was survived by his wife Noreen and daughter Florence. Eventually, Noreen would remarry, and she and Florence would settle in Mobile, Alabama. More than 40 years after his questionable death at Niagara Falls, Ed Delahanty was inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame in 1945. Big Ed is buried not too far from where he grew up. He is interred at the Calvary Cemetery in Cleveland, Ohio. The Dead Ball Podcast is written by Tim Scott, edited by Benjamin Fitton, and hosted by me, Nina Instead. To learn more about the show or talk with like-minded sports fans, join the Dead Ball discussion group on Facebook.